This Seattle Medium podcast is sponsored by the Port of Seattle.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the Port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
Last week, the Washington State House overwhelmingly approved legislation that would ban police from hog-tying suspects, a restraint technique that is long-drawn concern because of its risk of suffocation. This morning, top of this issue is Attorney James Bible. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
All right. James, many advocates are calling the passage of this legislation a huge victory as it relates to limiting the use of force and detaining of individuals by police. This legislation comes as a result of a case that you handled where a black man who was hog-tied by police and later died as a result of the incident.
Absolutely. Addressing this critical issue is of extreme importance to the state of Washington and, frankly, the entire United States in terms of how we allow police to do their jobs. Ultimately, hog-tying in the state of Washington is something that a number of law enforcement agencies had allowed, and it definitely resulted in the death of Manuel Ellis, or played a significant role in it, but it's used far too often in ways that are just utterly inhumane.
Right. And James, what has taken us so long to get to this moment on this issue? U.S. Department of Justice had recommended against police this practice in 1995 to avoid deaths in custody. The Attorney General's Office in Washington recommended against using hog tying and its model of use of force in 2022. And like you said, there are agencies that continue to permit it, and, you know, for whatever reason.
Politics. I would say ultimately that police unions have extreme power, significant resources, and the backing of local municipalities and governments to such a degree that on many levels, when it comes to politics, they have absolute power. And absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's what we've seen. Any time that we seek to reform in law enforcement that protects human beings, that cities, municipalities, law enforcement agencies, and the police unions do everything they can to turn back the clock.
Right. And James, can you kind of describe to our listening audience the issue or the concerns as it relates to hog-tying individuals and the risk that it presents? Especially, I know it doesn't present the same risk to everybody, but in today's society where, obesity is an issue and, being a little bit overweight is an issue, can you kind of talk about how this is a concern when it comes to hog-tying by the police?
Absolutely. So the first thing that I would say is that hog tying creates an immediate stress response in a human being. It can change their heart rate, how they beat, and depending upon how they're laid, can impact their ability to breathe. So even a person that is seemingly healthy could be in a space where a hog tie ultimately causes them significant pain or even death. You add contributing factors such as obesity or a mental health issue or concern or some amount of narcotics being in a person's system, and then you have an even greater risk. The reality is that we just need to step away from it altogether. It creates too significant of a risk of killing people. And it doesn't really serve any sort of meaningful purpose other than to humiliate the person that you are hog-tying.
Right. And that was my next question, James. You know, what is the purpose of the police actually hog-tying somebody to detain them, you know, in terms of, it seems like there's other ways that they could detain a person that would be equally effective but not have the same sort of health risk.
Absolutely. I don't personally see legitimate sort of, I don't see legitimate reasons to hogtie a human being. Hogtying involves cuffing someone to their hand, from their hands to their feet, and often leaving them on their stomach or side. There's little that can be accomplished in that way other than to humiliate, dominate, and control a person in a way that's unacceptable. Typically, you can just simply handcuff someone, put them in the back of a car, back of your police car. You can even handcuff their feet and control their movement to some degree. But the actual hog tie in and of itself serves no purpose.
Right. And James, you know, can tell our listening audience your thoughts about the status of this year's legislation. It appears that it may be on a track to get passed by both houses, which it should, because they have in the Senate, they just had a small tweak that they had to approve and hopefully go into the governor's desk for signature and signage into law. But what is your personal feeling about the progress that's been made this year as it relates to this legislation?
Yeah, I think that we always have a lot of work to do, and it's a continuing work in progress. And the hogtie bill is definitely a step in the right direction, because we're talking about how to humanely police communities and protect people that are suspected of crimes and the community altogether. So I think that it's critical that we be in a place that we continue to push in that direction. I think that we're moving in that direction, but I want to prepare people, because I do believe that the reality is that the unions and many municipalities will fight this as much as they can.
Right. And James, that leads me into another question. We could talk a little bit about the unions and the police officers and things they do, you know, because, you know, recent history has shown us that even if something is passed into law, they will continue to utilize tactics to fight something to get it reconsidered. In case in point, the police pursuit legislation that has drawn so much controversy, originally introduced by former state representative Jesse Johnson, the Federal Way, and then law enforcement agencies basically said, hey, this thing limits us, so we can't even attempt to pursue anybody. And so they just, you know, let suspects and people just, you know, drive off, you know, for any reason and not pursue them, and then build cases and that our hands are tied.
Right. So I think that the dynamic sometimes becomes that police departments and law enforcement agencies start to de-police communities, meaning that they start to be in a place where they stop doing their job and they say, oh, well, it's your fault because you passed this law or you created this sort of constraint on our work. Law enforcement can still do its job. Nothing that's been passed put them in a place where they really authentically couldn't. But it's almost like it's punishment to communities. I think the reality is that we have to be in a spot where we know that when we do take a couple steps forward, we have to continue to protect those steps that we've taken forward, because every year, the unions and some municipalities will challenge what our gains have been the year before.
All right. And James, I know we have just a few minutes left with you. My last question for you, you know, in your opinion, this legislation that we have right in front of us is a step in the right direction. But in your opinion, what other types of legislation need to be introduced and put into law to really help prevent other types of deaths based on interactions with law enforcement?
Well, I think that we need to continue to push for officers being able to be decertified. I think that we need a stronger central agency to evaluate and determine what's appropriate in terms of police conduct. I think that officers, frankly, need to be charged with crimes more often. And I think that ultimately we just need to be in a space where there's greater room to fire police officers and municipalities stop negotiating away their ability and right to make sure that their officers are doing the right thing.
All right. Well, James, I want to thank you for joining us on today's show and bringing this insight to our community this morning.
Thank you. Pleasure being on.